Small Biz America.
Yes, you found us once again, Small Biz America on Biz Talk Radio Network. I am David Wolf, and this week it's a very special show. Our entire show is dedicated to you, the entrepreneur, the dreamer, the thinker, the storyteller, and the leader. Michael E. Gerber joins us shortly. He'll be here with us, by the way, for the entire hour. He is the creator of the E-Myth Revisited, and the soon-to-be-released Beyond the E-Myth, author, speaker, visionary. And Michael actually he revolutionized the way we think about small business everywhere. So get out your beginner's mind and blank piece of paper. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. There's only one Michael Gerber, so don't go anywhere. Segment four will be joined, as always, by Gabe Arnold, the Small Biz Brain, with some tips for you in your small business. If your small business is in need of capital, we can help. Be sure to visit smallbizamerica.com and click on Business Finance in the navigation area. At the top, you'll find a short contact form to get the process rolling. We've got capital for you and your business at Small Biz America. Inc. magazine calls him the world's number one small business guru, the entrepreneurial and small business thought leader who has impacted the lives of millions of individuals and hundreds of thousands of companies worldwide over, 40 years. And he just celebrated a major birthday. We won't tell you what the number is, but I'm so happy he can be with us. We're talking about, of course, Michael E. Gerber. He's the author of the mega bestseller, The E-Myth Revisited, and five other E-Myth books concerning small business and entrepreneurship. For over 40 years, I've said it already, he revolutionized the way we think about small business. Every time we hear someone say, work on your business, not in your business, the guy that's on the phone with me right now is the one that invented that way of thinking, that way of saying it. Michael, welcome to the program.
I'm delighted, David. It's been a long time.
It's been a heck of a long time. Happy birthday to you. 40 years doing it. Our friend Mark Ehrlich was wondering how you can even hold the phone, but never mind that. the videos are wonderful. And by the way, folks, before we even get into this segment here, we're going to do a deep dive into the mind of an entrepreneur. But before we even do that, you want to visit www.entrepreneurthoughtleader.com. You want to go there, and there's a tremendous video. No one has the passion that you do for small business. And I think it all started with a realization, if I've got this right, that most small business people just have it wrong, right, Michael? They have it completely wrong. They follow the wrong path that ultimately leads them to frustration. Why?
Absolutely. Well, because they're not entrepreneurs, David. Everybody calls them entrepreneurs. Everybody thinks they're entrepreneurs. They even call them solopreneurs. But it's an absolute absurdity because they're not. And that's tragic. Because if they were entrepreneurs, they'd be doing it in a completely different way than 99% of all the people who are listening to this right now do it. They go to work in their business, and it isn't even a business, as we'll discuss. They go to work in that job, which is the worst job in the world because they're working for a lunatic. So my business over the past 40 years has been to address that. With every single tiny company, every single, in quotes, small business owner, every single, in quotes, solopreneur who comes my way. And effectively, I'm just the chief aggravator. I just piss everybody off, David.
Right. Because this is the stuff business owners, so-called entrepreneurs, don't want to hear. They don't want to hear that they're doing it wrong. They think they've got it right. But the reason they're in the business, they didn't entirely understand their own reason for being in the business. Would you say it that way?
Well, the problem is they think in terms of income rather than equity. In short, they're in business to make a living and to do it on their own and to become their own boss. But as I said earlier, they're working for a lunatic because they don't understand what, in fact, a business really is. So we've absolutely worked with now over 100,000 small business, call them that, clients, in completely changing the way they think about what they do so that they begin to do what they do in a completely different way in order to do one thing and one thing only, and that's to grow. So effectively, grow is the key. But the key then is, so why do you grow? Well, you grow, of course, to absolutely experience an exit strategy. So if you really think of an entrepreneur is a master of business design whose sole and proprietary function is to invent a business to grow to ultimately have a liquidity date. And that liquidity date means there's the guy out there who's going to buy it. And why is he going to buy it? Because it's scalable. And why is it scalable? Because the entrepreneur now who founded it went to work on it to create a system in order to grow it, in order to finally have an exit strategy, because he's created a product for sale, a truly stunning entrepreneurial company is a product for sale. To whom? To the acquisition, the strategic partner, the guy who is going to acquire it because it can grow. For what purpose? To grow it some more.
The work you're doing helps, guides, transforms business owners so that they can understand fully, how to scale. What is it we miss about scale? I want to talk about scale. I heard in a dreaming room once that I attended in California, you asked the question, how does a Ray Kroc build a business in a single lifetime, millions and millions of McDonald's over the planet? How does Sam Walton take a merchandising store and scale it in a lifetime? And I remember the enormity of that, and the way you asked the question was so beautiful. What do we not understand about what it takes to scale?
Well, what we don't understand is that it's a process. In fact, it's a step one, step two, step three, step four. Nobody I've ever met who owns a small company ever understood that process. So I'll define the process very simply. It starts out with a dream, a vision, a purpose, and a mission. The dream is the great result you intend to produce. The vision is the form your company needs to take in order to produce that great result. The purpose is the outcome you're going to create on behalf of your most important customer. And the mission is the system you're going to invent in order to scale it. So think of the dream as a great result. The vision is very clearly the business model. The purpose is the outcome you're going to produce on behalf of your most important customer. And the mission is the internal operating system that's needed in order to scale it. So in my case, my dream was to transform the state of small business worldwide. My vision was to invent the McDonald's of small business consulting. My purpose is that every one of our clients learns how to be as successful as a McDonald's franchisee is, was, will always be. Mm-hmm. And our mission was to invent the business development system, the intelligent system that we could deliver to any small company, no matter how tiny, one person, one and a half people, two people, six people, didn't make any difference, and didn't make any difference what kind of business it was, whether it was a chiropractor, whether it was a heart surgeon, whether it was a coffee shop, whether it was a auto repair shop. Doesn't make any difference what kind of business or where the business was. So that was our dream, our vision, our purpose, and our mission. Critical. It's the platform for truly exponential growth. And what we found is nobody's got a dream, a vision, a purpose, and a mission other than to become their own boss. Stupid.
Right. I need to make a living. I don't like the schmo I'm working for. I'm going to become my own schmo. I want to talk more about scale. I want to talk more about scale. I want to talk about the blank piece of paper and beginner's mind. Don't go away. We're with Michael E. Gerber. He's the E-Myth. We are revisiting Michael Gerber from the E-Myth. It's been a while since I've seen him. I want you to go to www.entrepreneurthoughtleader.com to witness a very passionate video that will help you further understand the enormity of transformation, the transformation that you need to truly satisfy your own desire to create a repeatable, scalable business that has equity. It's not making a living, folks. It's equity in your small business. Remember, we'll be with Gabe Arnold in segment four. And by the way, this is a transformative show. I'm speechless. Wolf is never speechless. It's not good to be speechless on the radio. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Don't go away.
Small Biz. Small Biz America.
Welcome back. We're here with Michael E. Gerber. He's the E-Myth. We're revisiting the E-Myth with Michael E. Gerber. We're talking about the transformation of the entrepreneur. That's you, the small business owner. By the way, I hope you guys had a good week in your business. We're here for you. We're here to support you. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you, David.
I want to talk about beginner's mind and a blank piece of paper. I also want to talk about systems, because my first encounter with you years ago was through one of your, I'll call him a franchisee, who opened up a book with a variety of systems that he suggested or consulted with me to use in creating a scalable business that is repeatable and that one that I could grow. And in that particular case, it was a food and beverage type of business, a bagel company. You may remember that. But before that, the dreaming room and the blank piece of paper, and take us through that first process that you like to take entrepreneurs through, as you strip them down to truly understand why they're doing what they're doing and what it means.
Well, it's so obvious when you do it. It's so obvious when you see it. That's what happens to anybody who goes into the dreaming room. That's why the dreaming room is such an important part of what we deliver in what we call the program. But understand the very first component of that. Before anybody can appreciate what I'm talking about, we created a 3.5 hour, yes, I know it's just ungodly thinking about 3.5 hours. Actually, somebody to sit here and listen to me for 3.5 hours until somebody is actually willing to sit down and watch me for 3.5 hours, taking them through the absolutely seemingly elaborate process of going through the dream, the vision, the purpose, the mission, the job, the practice, the business, the enterprise, what I call the hierarchy of growth, what we now call beyond the E-Myth, the evolution of an enterprise from a company of one to a company of 1,000, until somebody absolutely grasps that. They don't understand why the dreaming room, that very first stage, that blank piece of paper idea, is so absolutely critical. Why, in fact, it's critical at Disney. Disney has what they call Imagineers. What do Imagineers do? They go into the dreaming room. Disney always said, it's not what we know how to do, it's what we don't know how to do. We're not here to create something we already know how to do. We're here to create something we never even thought we could create before. And they do that continuously, and that's the genius of the Disney Imagineering process. And that's the genius underlying the process that we're talking about here, which is also the process at Walmart, the process at McDonald's, the process at Starbucks, the process at FedEx, the process at Mary Kay Cosmetics, the process that existed at the beginning, at the heart of every single extraordinary enterprise on the face of this earth. So you understand, the guy who's starting this tiny, 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 tiny company has got to begin it if it's to grow exponentially, which is the only reason in the world to do it, because if you can't grow it exponentially, you'll never have a liquidity date. You'll never have an exit strategy. Nobody will ever walk in with a great big check and say, thank you for doing what you did. You'll never go public. You'll never be acquired. Nothing will ever happen other than Medicaid and Social Security. Understand? That's
yes.
The product of most small businesses. Medicaid and Social Security. And finally, just crapping out. I call it your COD, your crap out date. Something more has got to happen than that. And that's what starts in the dreaming room with the dream, the vision, the purpose, and the mission. So
when
let me say it again.
Please.
Let me say it again. The dream is the great result. What's the great result you're going to produce by creating this great company? What's the great result? And the great result doesn't reside in your mind. The great result resides in the world. So what's the great result you're going to produce for your most important consumer? So you got to become really consumer-centric. You got to look at what's missing in this picture, the great entrepreneurial question. What's missing in this picture? You're looking at the world outside of you. What's missing in this picture? What isn't working in the world? Why isn't it working in the world? What do people really want? What gets people hot and bothered? What if I could do it? Everybody would want me to do it. And on and on and on. You understand that's the blank piece of paper process.
Yes. I witnessed people, to say it's an aha moment is a sort of sounds silly, but it was profound. What I witnessed in the room, and literally, folks, we had a room full of people with large blank sheets of paper, and we got to draw. We got to imagine what it could look like. We got to dig deeper than we really ever have because we're outside the mechanics, the tactical, the doing it part of our business so that we can see the world and see our relationship to the world and see our relationship to ourselves and our own business doing something monumental that's transformative as opposed to just making a living. And that's the work. That's the work that we're talking about here. I want to mention the website again, www.entrepreneurthoughtleader.com. That's where you can find out more about a process that can help you transform the work you're doing in your business to work you then do on your business with your dream, your vision, your purpose, and your mission. That sequence is critical. Anyway, I witnessed people, Michael, I witnessed, and you know this, you would bring them on stage and they would talk about a vision that they'd never even thought about doing because they weren't given permission on some level to dream. And unfortunately, we forget that we can do that. We have a right to dream. It's a human, natural thing. I love it. You have said that this is really, 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 really simple at the end of the day. Many entrepreneurs forget how simple it can be. You understand that this really is simple. It's just a couple of ideas, isn't it? This simplicity.
Well, what's difficult is where most people are. You understand the difficult part of all this is breaking free of our own personal limitations. So it's really, really interesting. I'm in the midst now of writing the book called Beyond the E-Myth, The Evolution of an Enterprise from a Company of One and a Company of 1,000. Mm-hmm. And I'm right at the heart of the introduction of it, down to what I call the nuts and the bolts of it. And so what we're really saying to everybody who's listening to me right now, I'm looking at the manuscript. I'm working on it as we speak right now.
I love it. You're multitasking.
You got it. To set the stage for what you're about to read, it's important to look at the reality of the marketplace of small business, what it looks like, why it looks like it does, and why that's extremely important for the conversation we're about to have. The marketplace is where your competition lives. Not just the competition for the business you're in, the products or services you intend to sell, and how you design all that. But the competition for the business you're ultimately intending to sell.
I love it.
In short, that's what this is all about, David.
More with Michael. not COD. We're going to continue with Michael E. Gerber after the break. Please don't go anywhere.
It's time for another PR and SEO quick tip with Melanie Rembrandt.
Melanie, I'm a small business owner. Why should I send out a press release?
Well, David, as you know, press releases are a great way to build buzz online and remind media members and customers that you have current news, products, and services. And the good news is press releases don't need to be expensive. You can write one yourself. All you do is follow the standard releases at sites like PR Newswire or Business Wire. Then you simply send it out to specific media members and customers and post it on free sites. And also, if you add keywords for the search engines, you'll get more coverage online. Now, it takes a little time and effort, but you can build buzz with press releases without spending a fortune.
Want to boost sales fast with public relations and search engine optimization? Listen to PR and SEO Quick Tips with Melanie Rembrandt and visit RembrandtWrites.com/radio for your free newsletter, exclusive tips, and more.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.
Back with Michael E. Gerber and the E-Myth, the Dreaming Room, and the Thought Leader. Go to www.entrepreneurthoughtleader.com. for an amazing video and a more passionate monologue from Michael about the transformation of you, the entrepreneur. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you, David.
Absolutely. So good to be exploring this stuff. We can't fit it into any time frame. We were joking offline, 10 minutes, 11 minutes, who knows what. But there's so much to do. There's something that, very striking about something you said, economics, the way it works on the street. And the backstory to this, for me, is this idea that we get a higher education so that we can make something of ourselves, right? And I know you've got some commentary on that. But making it work, making your business work on the street, in your view, and I believe I entirely agree, is simply a matter of making choices and taking action.
And making the right choices and taking the right action. You know, you can hear it all the time. Every single person who's coming to you to sell you something is coming to sell you something, to tell you how to do something, how to do this, how to do this, how to do this, how to do this. What effectively we've been in the business of doing is telling people what to do, not how to do it. Because until we get down to what to do, the true outcome of this, then how to do it is irrelevant. So that's why I'm writing the book, Beyond the E-Myth, The Evolution of an Enterprise from a Company of One to a Company 1,000. Of course, we get into a few of the hows to do that. But most important, it's the what to do. So I was just reading to you something that I'm in the midst of writing. Actually, as I'm writing this book, which is going to be published by the end of this year, and it's going to be the most important book I've ever written, David. Because really breaking through the barrier that we've been talking about that most people are confronting who own and operate their own small business. And I wrote this. It says the marketplace is where your competition lives. Not just the competition for the business you're in, the products or services you intend to sell and how you design all that, but the competition for the business you're ultimately intending to sell. Hear this, everybody. The business you're intending to sell, that's this ball game that we're involved in. So there are a whole slew of companies who are determined to take your retail customers away. And so that's a battle you've got to learn how to fight if you're ever going to get to the point of the potential sale of your company. But the true competition comes at the end of the game, not at the beginning of it. The true competition comes when you want to sell your company. That's the time when most business owners suddenly wake up. That's the holy moly experience most of them, yes, about 99% of all companies face when they come to realize they've been doing it all wrong. That all of that hard work, all of that great suffering, all of that doing it, that they've been consumed by during the years preceding that moment, when they finally think to themselves, how do I get out of here? And only then come to see that there is no way they're going to get out of there, that there's nobody who wants to buy it. Nobody wants to buy their business. That's the tragic truth of this tale, that most small companies will never be sold, ever, because they don't have anything to sell, because they didn't do it right, because they never thought about that moment until they got to that moment. Wow, I'm telling you, every single small business owner I look at, David, every single one of them, when we're at that point, the devastation that occurs. In short, the only way they're going to ever sell their company is to another technician who wants to do it. A chiropractor looking for a chiropractic practice. A poodle clipper looking for a poodle clipping practice.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he doesn't have any money.
Right. Because they're technicians.
Right. So what's the seller going to do when that buyer is there without any money? You got it. He just ekes out the rest of his life until he closes his business and then goes into subsistence on Medicare, on Social Security, on doing it some more, whatever that looks like for whomever it is. But understand, that's the sad and tragic story, David, of most small business owners when their business comes to a close, is that so does their life.
Mm.
So that's the point of this.
And so, Michael, in the beginning, if we can take the entrepreneur and say, hold on, you need to start from the end. You need to think in terms of enterprise value.
He's not an entrepreneur, David. Don't say take the entrepreneur. He's nowhere near an entrepreneur.
Okay.
He's a technician suffering from an entrepreneurial seizure.
He's got the seizure. He thinks he's an entrepreneur. It's that business person that you sit down from the very beginning and you say, you need to build enterprise value. You need to start from the end of your life and reverse engineer a scalable business with equity and enterprise value. I'm restating it my own way, but I hope you concur.
I do concur. In short, okay. A business, a company, is simply a product. So Walmart is a product, a great
right.
product. Apple
right.
is a product, a great product. In short, great value. Why do they have great value? Because they're scalable. Walmart grew from one to how many? Apple grew from one to how many? McDonald's grew from one to how many? Starbucks grew from one to how many? Man, if anybody listening to us right now is open to getting the message, I'm the only one who's telling them that. Everybody else is telling them how to fix their broken business.
Right,
stupid.
Right. It's not foundational at all. It's not saying, start with the blank piece of paper and reinvent something that is scalable that will build equity for you in your lifetime and scale well beyond your lifetime if all goes well and solve a meaningful problem that you care about. That's the other piece. Yeah, that's the other piece that I hear.
You understand that's part of the dream, the vision, the purpose, and the mission. That's
right.
The platform.
Right.
Obviously, what you're going to create has got to have purpose. It's got to have meaning. It's got to be important to your customer. It's got to be differentiable from everybody else. It's got to be the words disruptive. But everybody else is telling you how to sell stuff. They're not telling you how to build stuff. So design, build, launch, and grow. Design, build, launch, and grow. The absolutely four critical components of beginning your company anew. And that's what I'm saying. It's about new co. It's not about old co. So we're not in the business of fixing old co, the business you got. We're in the business of inventing new co, the company you're going to prepare for sale. And that's the difference. And it's huge, David.
It's huge. www.entrepreneurthoughtleader.com is the information. That's the website, rather, that you can go for information and for inspiration. Michael talks more about many of the subjects. We've just tipped the iceberg during the three quarters of an hour we've been spending with him together. Michael, it's really good to be with you. You're an inspiration to my audience, and it's always a delight. So thank you for joining us on the program.
It's a delight, David. Let's do it again.
Let's do it again. www.entrepreneurthoughtleader.com. It's amazing stuff. It'll transform you, your business, your life, and we'll do it again for sure. Coming up, we have the Small Biz Brain with Gabe Arnold, and looking forward to him. He's always got great tips for the small business owner, the operational side of marketing. So don't go away.
America. The brain.
It's time once again for the Small Biz Brain. He's the founder of CopywriterToday.net, an expert in email marketing automation, sales, and all related subjects. Our recurring guest here on the Small Biz Brain, Gabe Arnold. Gabe, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, David. Glad to be here.
Always good to be with you. Folks, we started this series, a couple months ago. The show hit Biz Talk Radio Network, and at that point, I said, "Gabe, let's prepare. You know, let's always have something ready to go." But then we've sort of morphed into now it's a surprise. So you may have noticed if you listen regularly. Now I'll typically say, "So Gabe, what do you have?" Because I don't have any idea what he's got. So Gabe, please, what are you thinking about this week and tips for the small business?
Yeah, so today I want to share with everybody how they can build a multi-billion-dollar company.
Wait, I just got to stop you because I know you didn't hear the first three segments, but, you know, Michael is a ball of energy, and it's all about scale with Michael, right? And for anyone listening, you know, you probably had to pull over to the side of the road if you're in your car. Anyway, please continue, but this is a perfect follow-up. Somehow you knew that was coming. All right.
Fantastic. The yep. Planets have aligned for us. But yes. I run into this question a lot where people ask me, how do I scale up and, you know, how do I get bigger? And so that's interesting that you've already been talking about that today. So very apropos.
Absolutely. It's the only thing we talked about. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
And so what comes to mind for me is there's a really simple strategy that you can label either way, but the original one that I always look to is the Facebook strategy. And Facebook obviously is the biggest social network on the planet and, you know, crazy profitable and worth a ton of money. And they did one thing very well with a teeny tiny little bit of money. And so I'll share a little bit of the history and you can dig into it and get the exact facts if you're curious. But the gist of it is basically accurate, and it'll help you understand how to scale up. So when Mark Zuckerberg came up with Facebook, his total operating cost in his first initial launch was $85 per month, and for his one or two servers that he had, and he launched his idea on the Harvard right. University campus.
Right.
And I mean, everybody may have heard of this, but I think that sometimes we overlook the brilliance of how to scale up in a marketplace. And so I'm just going to share some of the highlights of, you know, why that worked. And of course, anybody can reach out to me. Just go to copywritertoday.net and contact me there if you want more insight into this. But
I love this. This is great. All right. Love that you're doing this. Please.
So the brilliance of this is he took a marketplace where he was personally connected, where people knew of him. And he created mm-hmm. something that everybody wanted and they, you know, wanted to be a part of to be cool and connected, and it served a purpose. It met a need. So as you apply that to your business space, you can look and say, okay, what marketplace am I already connected to and how can I start in a small segment? And the reason that you want to start in that small segment is, you know, you're connected to it, but then also you can get statistics and testimonials and proof of concept done. And once you have that, then you can roll out to the next segment, the next university, and then you can keep scaling from there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take this approach and you really nail it in a small environment where you're in your own little fishbowl, we'll say, and you can become the big fish, then all you have to do is replicate that process. And so that's how you build a $1 billion industry. You master the system and the process of, you know, starting somewhere, you know, rolling it out, getting the engagement, the profits, you know, everything that you need. And then you just do that same process in each new segment. And Facebook did this obviously incredibly successfully. But so did Uber and like Zipcar and all, you know, all the other businesses that are now household names. Mm-hmm. Said, okay, let's dominate one marketplace and work out all the kinks in our business model, and then we'll just take the exact same approach as we roll out across the nation and across the world.
Well, you've said too that this concept of pre-selling is somehow related to this, because you're kind of getting small a little bit. You're saying, look, before we scale, we've got to make sure this works in our little fishbowl. We've got to make sure this works in our own backyard. We've got to make sure that this connects at a small level before we risk more capital, before we risk more time. And, you know, it's kind of the next level after your pre-sell idea, which is, I've got an idea for a product. Let me run this by a half a dozen, a dozen, two dozen, three dozen of my close associates, potential customers, and get a feel about whether it's connecting for them or whether they really feel that I'm solving a worthwhile problem. So scale doesn't immediately jump to, and we've all known entrepreneurs, by the way, that have jumped to the end of the page and they've said, it's world domination from the start, when they actually haven't proven that the model works in their own backyard. And I think that's essentially the core of what you're saying today, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it, David. And
that's beautiful.
You know, nailing down the process, you know, in that small space, and, you know, the discipline of approaching a marketplace that way will always yield good results, in my experience, and just from the history of what we see in some of these huge successful companies.
Yeah, I love that. I love modeling off of success. Copywritertoday.net is where you can find Gabe Arnold and his team. He has a robust team of folks that do a whole lot of things around marketing automation, around content generation, around helping you grow your business and help you focus on the business of your business and work on it. So while they're taking care of some of the technical portions of what marketing requires today. So it's copywritertoday.net. You can also call 888, that's 888-618-9123. Gabe, we'll see you next week. Thanks again.
Thanks, David.
I've got a quote from General George Patton. You know, I pull these up every week and something resonates for me. Somehow felt appropriate this week. Quote, success is how high you bounce after you hit bottom. Okay, so... You know, some of the most successful entrepreneurs have really hit bottom. I mean, some of the most successful humans have hit bottom and then rose because they learned something about what it means to be at the bottom. They felt what it means to be hungry. They felt what it means to feel lousy about themselves and the mistakes they've made or the lessons they've learned. You know, the class keeps getting, we end up taking the class until we get it right in life. I believe that. And so it's the same is true in business. And so I think that's appropriate. The other thing about hitting bottom is, you know, and some of the work Michael's doing as well, is he's saying, look, you need to strip it down to a beginner's mind and a blank sheet of paper. You may have a business that's already operating, but you need to take time out of that business and you need to engage with a process that can help you better understand your relationship to the business so you're just not creating another job for yourself. We'll see you next week. Have a great week in your business. David Wolf signing off. Small Biz America on the Biz Talk Radio Network.